Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. No one wants to admit they're a slave to sin. Yet Jesus says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We want to protest just like the people in our reading. Slave? Me? I'm a good person. But then in the dark night of the soul, we know better. We feel those chains, the regrets, the frailty, the weakness, and we long to be set free. So what do we do? My sin holds me down. It doesn't allow me a place at the table, so I believe, because I think I just can't change. It just keeps holding me down. So I come here with all you other sinners, right? And I come to the table where Jesus welcomes us, not as slaves, but as children, where he makes us free, where God promises they're not written on stone, but on our hearts. God says from the least to the greatest, they will know the Lord, and he promised to forgive our iniquity and remember our sins no more. You know this. This is not new. Every year on Reformation Sunday, we hear the same text. We talk about the same grace that justifies us when we believe. Rooted in the past and growing into the future, the church must always be reforming to live out the love of Christ in an ever-changing world. We celebrate the good news of God's grace that Jesus Christ sets us free every day to do this life-transforming work. Trusting in the freedom given to us in baptism, we pray for the church that Christians will unite more fully in worship and in mission. On Reformation Sunday, we celebrate how the Holy Spirit is constantly reforming the church, the community of Jesus' disciples. We give thanks for the gospel message that Jesus saves us from sin and death through the cross and resurrection. We don't have to earn our salvation. We can simply trust that Jesus is the one who makes it all possible. That's how we receive genuine freedom. They are a gift of God's grace. But you say, yes, Pastor Connie, that all sounds so good and right and true. A Reformation, that's a Lutheran thing. Others don't believe in that same way or act in a way that seems like it is life-giving. Instead, we see around us those who are enslaving others instead of setting them free. And we certainly don't hear words of grace and love. What kind of truth do they believe? That can't be God's truth. How can we deal with that without feeling the same sense of captivity that the church is hopeless? It's just so cyclical. Where does it end? And the hopelessness sets in again and again. And maybe you've heard it said, or maybe said it yourself. Once I'm out of the house, I'm never going back to that church. Why would I? It's not relevant. I'm too busy. It's boring. It's all law. They have so many restrictions. And really, they're all just a bunch of hypocrites anyway. And the statistics show that we lose 70% of our youth when they graduate from high school. And only 2 of 5 come back later in life. That's some reformation, huh? And it's easy to feel discouraged, to think church is fading. But God's Spirit isn't finished. At his church a few weeks ago, my husband Mark had a conversation with Archbishop Musa Philibus of the Lutheran Church of Nigeria. and he's also the former president of the Lutheran World Federation. Musa was visiting the U.S. and joined us for our bishop's retreat, but also a couple other conversations at churches in the area. And in their conversation with Mark, Musa was saying that many people ask him if it is weird that his church is being given gifts from a church that is dying but has all the wealth. Whereas in Nigeria, the church has no wealth, but it has all kinds of people, and it keeps growing and growing. Is that a weird thing? Musa replied, "No. We are just extremely grateful for your generosity." But then they asked the next question, "Why is your church growing and ours dying?" Musa said, "I don't know. This is the Holy Spirit's work, not my work. Look, Paul wrote letters to the churches of Macedonia, in Galatia, and in Corinth, and now those churches no longer exist. The church didn't stay there. It moved to Europe. And when it got to Europe, it exploded, and then it started to dwindle. It came to the New World," he said, "and it exploded in America. And now it's diminishing in America. Still, it's exploding in Africa and Asia. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing, but it's not going away. The energy of the Holy Spirit is being relocated, yes, but the Holy Spirit gone? Is the church dying? No. You need a larger view." So no, the church is not dying. The Spirit is still alive and moving, writing the promise of grace on human hearts in every generation, in every place. That's what Reformation Sunday reminds us of. Not a one-time event in the 1500s, but an ongoing movement of God's grace. A church that's always being reformed. Not by our cleverness or by our strength, but by the living word of God that still sets people free. The Holy Spirit hasn't stopped. It's still blowing through Nigeria, Nepal, through Germany, South Sudan, Nicaragua, and Anoka. Through sanctuary and school and street corner, it's still whispering, "You are mine. You are free. You are loved." So today, as we sing "A Mighty Fortress" and give thanks for the reformers, remember this. The real Reformation isn't about Martin Luther or even the Lutheran Church. It's about a God who refuses to give up on us. A God who keeps creating, renewing, reforming. A God who says, "I will be their God, and they will be my people." And that promise, that new covenant, is written right here. It's not fading. It's alive. And it's still setting the world free. Amen.